On this 13th Sunday after Pentecost, my name is Molly. I serve as the Village Business Manager. For worship tonight, you will need an In All We Do worship folder. And I know that we ran short of these, so if you don't have one or can't see one, raise your hand and maybe somebody who can see another one could pass one along. Well, here. Wonderful. We will begin our worship with the litany printed in the worship folder on the first page. Let us prepare for worship with a time of silence.
In the name of God, the living God who creates us, redeems us, forgives us, and renews our life each day. Amen.
A broken people in need of restoration and renewal, we gather here to confess, to pray, to sing our need to God. Through the power of the Holy Spirit, we gather. Together, yet are still divided, each hidden behind a wall. We gather to hear and know the grace of Christ, to be united around the table of God's grace. At wisdom's invitation, through the promise of the word, we gather. Body of Christ, we gather now to live the future, bearing our crosses from now into all we do. In the hope of the new creation, we gather. Finding a lost coin,
so God rejoices over sinners who repent.
Let us confess our brokenness, our self-deception, and our need for God's forgiveness and reconciliation. We observe a time of silence for confession of sin. Prayers may also be spoken.
God intends all people to be welcome at God's table,
yet we set up barriers.
Holy God,
we confess our failure to live as your people.
Across the barriers that divide race from race,
reconcile us, O Christ, by your cross.
Across the barriers that divide rich from poor,
Reconcile us, O Christ, on your cross.
Across the barriers that divide men and women, people of different sexual orientations, and people of different ages,
Reconcile us, O Christ, by your cross.
Across the barriers that divide us within this Holden community,
Reconcile us, O Christ, by your cross.
All are welcome.
May all become welcome.
Children of God, we are restored and renewed. The lost are found. Divisions are mended. Unity is restored in the grace of Christ around the table of grace. We are, each one of us, a sacred, beloved, and forgiven child of God, empowered by the Spirit to do all we do in the hope of the new creation. Amen. Thanks be to God. Our opening hymn is in the Renewing Worship Songbook. It is number 241, 241, A Place at the Table.
Thank you.
us pray. Gracious and ever-living God, you have given great and precious promises to your people. Grant us the faith that can grow through difficulty and mature even through doubt. We pray in the name of your chosen one, Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen.
A reading from Isaiah. Thus says the Holy One, maintain justice and do what is right, for soon my salvation will come and my deliverance will be revealed. Happy is the mortal who does this, the one who holds it fast, who keeps the Sabbath, not profaning it, and refrains from doing any evil. Do not let the foreigner join to the Holy One say, the Holy One will surely separate me from the people. And do not let the eunuch say, I am just a dry tree. For thus says the Holy One, to the eunuchs who keep my Sabbaths, who choose the things that please me and hold fast my covenant, I will give in my house and within my walls a monument and a name better than sons and daughters. I will give them an everlasting name that shall not be cut off. And the foreigners who join themselves to the Holy One, to minister to God, to love the name of the Holy One, and to be God's servants, all who keep the Sabbath and do not profane it and hold fast my covenant, these I will bring to my holy mountain and make them joyful in my house of prayer. Their burnt offerings and their sacrifices will be accepted on my altar, for my house shall be called a house of prayer for all peoples. Thus says the Holy One God, who gathers the outcasts of Israel, I will gather others to them besides those already gathered. Holy wisdom, holy word.
A reading from Romans. I ask then, has God rejected the chosen people? Of course not. I am an Israelite, descended from Sarah and Abraham of the tribe of Benjamin. No, God has not rejected the chosen people. For God's gift and call are irrevocable. Just as you were once disobedient to God, and now have received mercy through Israel's disobedience, now they have become disobedient. Since God wished to show you mercy, that they too may receive mercy. God has imprisoned everyone in disobedience in order to have mercy on everyone. Holy wisdom, holy word.
Alleluia, 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 alleluia. reading from Matthew. Jesus left there and departed for the district of Tyre and Sidon. It happened that a Canaanite woman living in that area came and cried out to Jesus, "Heir to the house of David, have pity on me. My daughter is horribly demon-possessed." Jesus gave her no word of response. The disciples came up and repeatedly said to him, "Please get rid of her. She keeps calling after us." Finally, Jesus turned to the woman and said, "My mission is only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." Then she prostrated herself before him with the plea, "Help me, Rabbi." He answered, "But it isn't right to take the children's food and throw it to the dogs." "True, Rabbi," she replied, "true. But even the dogs get to eat the scraps that fall from the table." Jesus then said in reply, "Woman, you have great faith. Your wish will come to pass." At that very moment, her daughter was healed. Holy wisdom, holy word. My bare feet and my opening prayer make clear that I speak on holy ground only with the hope that God might pick up what I have to offer and make use of it, but knowing that I don't have all the wisdom. And hopefully, with that, you can enter into me, with me, into this reflection. And I ask that you enter first with me in prayer. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. I'm not sure I'll be able to be eloquent tonight. I don't know if I'm ever eloquent when I'm preaching, but certainly not tonight. I was asked to preach months ago, knowing that this was the Sunday when the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America finished its biennial churchwide assembly. Votes were to take place on issues of blessing same-sex unions and ordaining to ministry those who are living faithfully in such unions. The votes are now done. And again, we as a church body have said that some of my brothers and sisters in Christ must endure a church that considers them to be less than God's good creation, less than fully welcome at the table, deserving of only partial dignity that we share in Christ. This grieves me profoundly. I wrote this because I knew I would feel like this when I got to this point. I pray you will bear with me as I struggle with an emotional sermon and seek with you to make sense of the word God has for us today. Let me begin with another's words as a way more than anything to frame the paradoxical state of my soul as I prepared and as I now preach this sermon. It is a quote from a lovely and profound novel I just finished this morning, titled Gilead. The tale is of Reverend John Ames, 76 years old, who is dying and who writes a long letter to his 7-year-old son. After rich reflection on joy and suffering, faith and the things that test it, on the penultimate page, Reverend Ames quotes the passage from Scripture, "God will wipe away the tears from all faces." And then he comments, "It takes nothing from the loveliness of that verse to say that it is exactly what will be required." I've read this gospel lesson about Jesus' encounter with the Canaanite woman again and again, and one simple fact comes back to me. We should have known that crumbs from the table would never do. We nevertheless find ways to exclude and to cause tears and grief. We all likely have somebody in mind, some type of person we'd be just as happy to exclude from our dinner party or from our communion table. The ELCA, the denomination in which I serve as pastor, has someone in mind. Yet, as these scripture texts proclaim so clearly, we worship a God who has the irritating habit of always adding more places at the table. Just when we thought we knew who was in and who was out, God upsets the balance by making more spaces at the table. The God proclaimed in Scripture is a prodigal God, so intent on reconciliation that even when 99 are safe, God goes out looking for the one that is in danger. Our God is a compassionate God, so intent on healing that even when it causes scandal to the righteous, God seeks out those who are cast aside. How does the gospel text today work to revise our understanding of who deserves only crumbs and who is worthy of a place at the table? I found three ways to read the story of the Canaanite woman's faith in the Gospel of Matthew. Each holds an element of truth, but I'll tell you in advance, I think the third reading is the most compelling. And if there's a New Testament scholar in the room, they'll probably tell me that's the one that's most off base. Nonetheless, the first two readings are historical readings. That is, they assume this is a historical text, and they look for historical clues as a means to interpreting the text's meaning. So, in the first version of this historical interpretation, the Canaanite woman represents double marginality. She's both a woman and a Gentile, and therefore considered outside the boundary of God's blessing. Jesus, however, as a Jew, as a male, is within the circle of righteousness. Jesus rightly dismisses her because of gender and ethnicity, is rebuked by the woman, and is humbled by her faith. And so he therefore relents and grants her request for her daughter's healing. That's historical reading one. The second version of the historical interpretation sees the Canaanite woman as a representative of the wealthy, coastal, city-dwelling merchant class of Greeks who depended on the rural Jewish peasants for their food. These poor rural Jewish farmers were Jesus' concern. He wanted to bring economic help to them. The feeding of the 5,000 had to do with that. And so God's mission for Jesus is to care for the sheep without a shepherd in Israel. Jesus dismisses the Canaanite woman because of her socioeconomic status. The term dog was a common slur used for the Greek population. Yet her clear faith that Jesus is the son of David and her clever retort to Jesus' dismissal changes his mind. And so he grants her request for her daughter's healing. Both of these are plausible readings. Both portray Jesus as changing his mind about the limits of his mission and the limits of God's mercy. Yet I have a feeling that the story was written to change the reader's mind rather than report about Jesus' change of mind. The first clue, I think, is that this story is only reported in Matthew and Mark, the most, quote, Jewish of the Gospels, and not in Luke and John, the Gospels that are more Greek in their orientation. And this makes me wonder if the story doesn't have a rhetorical function in Matthew and Mark, intended to change the minds of those who have drawn lines for who is in and who is out a bit too tightly for God. So in the third version, the third interpretation of the story, we can learn from the earlier historical interpretations, but now we take into account the writer's rhetorical aim. Therefore, we should ponder how this story is constructed as a sort of trap for a certain kind of audience. As I said, the text is only in Matthew and Mark. So let's assume for our purposes that the writer was Matthew. Matthew knows his readers will likely see the Canaanite woman as unworthy of conversation with Jesus for all the reasons I've mentioned. For all of these reasons, she would have been seen as worthy of Jesus' dismissal. Yet she comes with faith, humility, persistence, and wit, seeking to break down the walls that divide. Jesus' first three responses, silence, then a comment to the disciples that he sent only to the lost sheep of Israel, and then finally to the woman that it's not fair to throw the children's food to the dogs, represent the viewpoint of those who might be sympathetic to the Pharisees. The whole chapter prior to the story is taken up with debating with the Pharisees who criticize Jesus for playing loose and fast with the rules of righteousness. So Matthew sets a trap, drawing people into the self-righteous view of course, the woman wasn't worthy of Jesus' time and attention. Then, in Jesus' last response, Matthew writes what he knows to be Jesus' own true voice, shocking his hearers, and once again upsetting common assumptions about who really has a place at God's table. In this last response, Jesus honors this woman and her claim to legitimate access to the table and the healing such access provides. He declares that this woman has great faith, enough even to heal her daughter, thereby making her the unlikely model of faith for the Pharisees to follow. In the face of the Canaanite woman's challenge, Matthew uses Jesus' responses to shock those who hear the gospel, forcing them to ponder Jesus' final word of embrace and its implied expansion of the boundaries of inclusion into community. There's a thread that passes through all of the text today, from Isaiah to this text in Matthew, giving scraps of dignity to those on the margins will never do. God's self-giving in Jesus Christ is fundamentally about becoming least in order to lift up those who have been cast aside and bring them in and make them whole, invite them to a place at the table. We should have known crumbs would never do. The Lutheran tradition was founded on the gospel of God's unmerited grace, of unexpected and undeserved welcome into the circle of God's blessing. I don't want us to settle for anything less than that word as we live together. How can we deny for others what we ourselves have received, that is, the full and unmerited mercy of God? How can we stand blocking access to the table when Jesus is the one who has said to the faithful margins, "Woman, man, great is your faith." I stand here facing a wall of stoles, a wall of stoles representing my fellow clergy who have been removed from their ministries. I stand here in full awareness of my family and friends in the church whose ministries, and more importantly, whose lives, have been disregarded by the actions of my church. Perhaps it is their faith, their persistence and wit, their courage, that is a model for the rest of the church, as the Canaanite woman was for the Pharisees. The paradox of our faith is that in the midst of our tears, we hold the promise that every tear will be wiped away. In the midst of our exclusions and divisions, we proclaim a promise that in Christ, all have a place at the table. Our Lord and Savior knew that crumbs are not enough for a God whose mercy is so wide and so freely given. That wide mercy, freely given, be yours tonight. Amen.
Is from Renewing Worship, the Renewing Worship Songbook, number 245, number 245, A Canticle of the Turning.
As we pray our prayers tonight, at the end of each petition, I will say, God, in your mercy, and we will respond with the lines in your worship folder, which Maria will teach us. At the end of the common prayers, where you may all offer prayer, I will say that again to close those prayers, and we will sing it once at that time.
Oh, hear our prayer.
Gathered, enlightened, and empowered to serve, let us pray for the church, the nations, and all people seeking God's mercy and care. God of wisdom, we pray for your body, the church, as leaders of the Lutheran Church, ELCA, return to their homes following our assembly. We desire unity in your church, but also justice for those who are wrongly put outside. Guide us as we seek your will and your truth. God, in your mercy. For a troubled world where divisions between people and nations bring death and misery. We pray especially for the leaders and people of Palestine and Israel as the settlements in Gaza are evacuated, and for the tenuous governing body in Iraq as leaders there strive to shape their constitution. We pray for all leaders that they might have hearts that comprehend the needs of those outside of their own people. God, in your mercy. For those in our world who are sick or who suffer hardship in our society, help us to see their need, to be with them in their distress, and to have faith in your will to bring health and wholeness into their lives. Give us hearts to do your work among those left on the margins in our society. God, in your mercy. of eternal life, we pray for those who have died and for those who grieve their passing. We pray especially for Sean and Dinah Bergstrom, whose ministry in Seattle ended with their death this past week. We thank you for their lives and for the gifts they shared among us. Be with those who mourn and remember them. Enfold them with your peace. God, in your mercy. Offer now. Community that is Holden Village. We thank you for the week just passed in which we celebrated the vibrancy of Latino culture and stretched ourselves in language and custom so that all would feel welcome. Keep that spirit of welcome alive in this community and in us, both here and at home. Help us to see the outsider as ourselves, to know that we are all part of the community that is your body in the world today. God, in your mercy. Believing that our prayers are heard by you, our Creator, through the power of the Holy Spirit, and in the name of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Please rise.
The peace of Christ be with you always.
And also with you.
Let us share a sign of God's peace with one another.
We know.
Just a word of explanation before we begin the communion proper this evening. Both wine and grape juice are offered at this table. Wine will be served by both common cup and by individual cup. It is your choice. Grape juice will be served by individual cup. So if you do prefer grape juice, please take an individual cup and proceed to the second pitcher. The second pitcher. The first pitcher will contain wine in each line. If you would prefer a blessing rather than the elements, please come forward with your hands folded, and the person serving the bread will give you a blessing. If your child has not been prepared for communion and you would wish them not to commune, please ask them likewise to keep their hands folded when they come forward, and they will receive a blessing.
Shout, shout out, you blessed ones. We praise your name, O God. Give thanks to the God of love.
We praise your name, O God.
Fashioner, creator, you have formed all that is and lives and moves throughout your creation.
Through the ages, you have called out prophets, poets, musicians, preachers. You have empowered the efforts of justice seekers and peacemakers. You have honored the work of liberators and healers. In the fullness of time, you sent your chosen one, the Messiah, to fulfill your law and reveal your grace.
Through the one who was promised, Jesus, you reconciled to yourself people of all time and place, bringing all of your children into your loving embrace.
On the night before he was betrayed, Jesus took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you.
Do this for the remembrance of me."
After supper, Jesus took the cup and gave thanks and gave it for all to drink, saying, "Take and drink. This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sins."
Do this for the remembrance of me. Remembering Jesus' life of preaching, healing, and eating with the outcast, remembering Jesus' offering of all that he had and all that he was, and living in the new life that is promised through his resurrection, we eat this bread and drink this cup.
Send us your Holy Spirit, that this meal might be what you have promised it to be, a foretaste of the feast to come, when all will live in one in you. In the name of Christ we pray. Amen.
Amen.
There are three forms of the prayer which Jesus taught printed in your bulletin. You are welcome to use the form that is closest to your heart. I would mention that there is a typographical error in the second prayer, and it should read, "Holy and blessed is your true name." Let us pray together. Abba, in heaven, hallowed by your name, your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us.
Save us from the time of trial,
like a river between us,
and deliver us from evil.
For
the kingdom,
lead us to holy innocence,
the power,
beyond the evil of
the
our
glory
days.
Are yours.
Come swiftly, God of now healing, come. For yours Amen. Is the power and the mercy and the wisdom. Forever your name is all in one. Amen.
This is Christ's table, and all are welcome. Here, all divisions cease. Here in Christ's body, we are made one. Come, one, come, all. For this is the resurrection banquet for all God's people.
Hymn 183 in renewing worship as we gather at your table. Hymn 183.
Body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, strengthen us and keep us in God's grace. Amen.
Let us pray. Through this meal, you unite us as one in you, gracious God. Forgiven, empowered, nourished and strengthened through your word and wisdom, send us out to live as one with your will, bringing life and hope to all your world. We pray for your love's sake.
Amen. Amen. Ground of life, deepen our roots in you. Seed of grace, grow in us in our living. Breath of life, whisper love in all we do. Amen. Our sending song is in With One Voice, number 721, number 721. Thank you.
serving God in all you do.
Thanks be to God.